Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you. And again, we send greetings to our friends everywhere. General Harold K. Johnson, Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, recently spoke at the Washington Presidential Prayer Breakfast. He told 1,000 government leaders, "There is a solution to the problems of the world. Turn to God. There is a solution to the conflicts between nations. Turn to God. There is a solution to the problems of our cities and of our streets. Turn to God. Not in a superficial way, but in a human and compassionate way, as man to man and friend to friend. There is a solution to the problem of our young. Together with them, turn to God." Well, Senator Frank Carlson presided at the prayer breakfast, which is held weekly under the joint auspices of the breakfast groups of both the Senate and the House. Vice President Humphrey read from the New Testament. Senator Joseph D. Tidings read from the Old Testament. President Johnson spoke briefly. He told those assembled, "Your president prays. We cannot know what the tomorrow will bring. We can know that to meet its challenge and to withstand its assaults, America never stands taller than when her people go to their knees." The prayer breakfast idea was originated 25 years ago. Some 15 to 20 senators, some 50 to 75 representatives meet weekly to pray. Well, columnist David Lawrence comments that it is significant that these prayer breakfasts have increased in interest in recent years, particularly since the Supreme Court has declared that prayer directed by any governmental agency is unconstitutional. But these meetings continue, with those directing these prayer breakfasts believing that men ought always to pray, as the Scripture says, including leaders of our government. And that's today's religious news of note.
And now back to Ray Brubaker and today's guest interview with Arnie Robertson, Vice President of Transworld Radio.
Well, Brother Arnie, from your travels, do you feel there is a worldwide moving of God's Spirit today?
Yes, in many different instances, I feel like I've seen a definite move of the Holy Spirit. Of course, I can't speak for the whole world because I've not traveled all over the world, but I've listened to messages from missionaries, and I've talked to Christian leaders, and I think that Christians all around are hungering and thirsting for the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and that many of them are experiencing personal Pentecost.
Well, I wonder if you could tell us just what do you mean by the expression personal Pentecost?
Well, actually, it's a scriptural word. In a sense, the Apostle Paul said that we should be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I believe that when we're born again, the Holy Spirit becomes resident in our lives. But when we're filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit becomes president.
Mm-hmm.
There is a definite experience for every Christian when he yields his life completely to Christ, and by faith he receives the fullness of the Spirit.
Well, is there any reason why Christians are not more anxious for this experience?
Well, I believe that some actually do not believe that it's for them. I think that many people are afraid of being filled with the Spirit or having a personal Pentecost because they've been taught against it. They believe that a Christian becomes a mature, fruitful Christian at conversion. Actually, the Apostle Paul was speaking to people who had already been saved, and he told them to be filled with the Spirit. Now, if they'd already been filled, he would not have had to command them to be filled. And I believe that this is a sign of the soon return of Christ, that the Spirit of God's being poured out on all flesh.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, if we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, could you simply tell us how are we filled, and how can we know we're filled?
Well, actually, everything that we receive from God must come by faith and out of the abundance of His grace. It was by grace that Christ died for us. And when Jesus left, He said, "I'm going to send unto you the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. He's been with you, but He shall be in you, and He shall take everything that's mine and make it real to you and convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come." And so He gave the Holy Spirit as his gift to the church. This was the last gift that he gave to the church. Now, even as we are saved by faith through grace and that not of ourselves, by trusting in Christ, we also have to realize that as a Christian, we need to die to sin and the flesh and to self, and that we need to repent of these things, and that we need to live to the Spirit. And I believe that to be filled with the Spirit means that we come to that place in our life when we realize that we're not sufficient in ourselves to serve Christ. And we die to self and we say, Lord Jesus, by faith I receive the fullness of the Spirit of God. And to, by faith, realize that the Spirit of God was given for us and to us and to be in us and to make Christ real through us. Now, I'm sure some people would say, well, I have by faith asked the Holy Spirit to fill me, and yet I don't feel anything different. How do you know you're filled with the Spirit of God? Well, in the first place, some of us by faith ask the Spirit of God to fill us, but we don't ever really thank Him for it. We don't really believe it. We don't praise Him for it. And many people have had glorious manifestations of the Spirit-filled life when they began to praise God and thank Him for their fullness. Mm-hmm. Now, I think every Christian will receive a definite manifestation, even a supernatural manifestation, that he or she has been filled with the Holy Ghost.
Oh, amen. Well, thank you very much, Evangelist Arnie Robertson.
To encourage faith and strengthen morality in these troubled times, we now present an interpretive analysis on a subject of interest. Here again is your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Well, beloved, lately we've been relating how God is moving by His Spirit and how He is desperately trying to reach us with His mighty love and power. In many areas, there is an unexpected awareness of the presence of God in conviction of sin, in miraculous conversions, and in divine intervention of human needs. We have the Word of God to back up the ministries of deliverance proclaimed by various God-anointed men today. I want to go on record as vindicating the ministry of these Spirit-filled men whom God is using today, although I am not here to vouch for any man's ministry. The Bible says, "Cursed is the man who trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm." I will vouch for the ministry of these men, believing it is of God. But as concerns the man himself, he is just like any other believer, except that God has endowed him with a gift, or several gifts. Why did God call D.L. Moody, who literally murdered the King's English, but who became a powerhouse for God, used by the Holy Spirit to bring many into the kingdom of God? Well, indeed, it was because Moody was baptized of the Holy Ghost. And even in Moody's day, there were those who fought this teaching. But everywhere he went, he would preach on the baptism or infilling of the Holy Ghost as a separate and distinct experience from conversion and something everyone needed. I could go on to relate, for instance, concerning Martin Luther. In Sauer's History of the Christian Church, we read where this great historian says, quote, "Dr. Martin Luther was a prophet, evangelist, in one person, endowed with all the gifts of the Spirit." The end of quotation. Even though I have known very definitely that this is the message the Lord called me to deliver, that of emphasizing the outpouring of the Spirit of God and meeting the human needs of believers everywhere, preparing the church for the soon coming of our blessed Lord. In view of this outpouring of the Holy Ghost prophesied by Joel, we read, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, praise God. For all who repent of their sins and trust Christ, they will be saved. But listen, friends, all you have to do is to turn back to Joel's prophecy to read that God told him originally that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I notice a footnote in my Bible states, the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. Jesus died to deliver you from your sins, even yourself, and certainly from the power of Satan. And the best insurance in all the world is His safety and preservation, praise His name. And then included in our salvation is healing. The Scofield notes in your Bible attest to this, friends. Why not believe that Jesus heals today? In fact, the psalmist says He healeth all our diseases. And turn to Matthew 8, where we read where Jesus cast out the demon spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Did you hear it? Peter says, by his stripes ye were healed. So why not believe it and claim it today? Hallelujah. Well, beloved, in a day when atheistic communism is growing by leaps and bounds, and God is being denied by those who would relegate his miracles to the past, or by those who would attempt to outlaw him in our public schools and similar institutions today, he will not be left without a witness. He wants to prove himself to you that he is still God, and that his power today is greater than at any time in history. Will you believe it? Believe and you shall see.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.